Welcome back to the St. Pete Catalyst Studio. Our guest today is Mark Sforzini. He is the founder and artistic director and executive director of the St. Petersburg Opera Company. Welcome, Maestro.
Great to be here.
We're happy to have you in here. It's Christmas time, and I think it'd be a good way for us to start this by reminding folks that you got a very special program coming up, and it's slightly different from the opera and the big productions that you do. Tell us about Holiday Sparkle.
Well, this was something we started several years ago, kind of a elegant holiday show. We were doing it at the Palladium with a 40-piece orchestra and 40-person chorus. And this year, we're doing it a little differently. We've moved it to our home, Opera Central. So we're inviting people into our home for the holidays. And we're going to do 8 performances instead of 2. They're going to be a little more intimate, cabaret style.
Can I ask you what brought this about? Why'd you make the change?
Honestly, we were having trouble getting good nights in December at the Palladium Theater and being able to, you know, rent that hall and field these large numbers of symphony and chorus people. And so we were ending up on nights like Monday and Tuesday or Tuesday and Wednesday. And those just, you know, aren't so good. So, you know, at Opera Central at our home, we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday night and Sunday matinee. And we do that 2 weeks in a row. So we have much better dates and the tickets are selling really well. And this year I put together a program. I should say my co-collaborator and I, Robert Rigsby, have put together a show where we're going to 5 different holiday parties for 5 different settings.
So it's not just the Raycon of singers doing, holiday greatest hits standing there.
There's some greatest hits in the show, but I think this is going to be pretty spectacular and unlike most holiday shows. We're going to an ugly sweater party where we're focusing on some holiday songs of television from the 60s and 70s. We're going to a holiday cocktail party. We're doing something, a set called Holiday Around the World. We're doing a holiday choral set, which is a little bit more traditional, and then a holiday formal set. So we're going to 5 different settings.
There is, I would imagine, a benefit in bringing this, as you say, home and making it more intimate as opposed to a big theater show, you know, because it's more intimate. The people are closer to the band, if you will. It's not a 40-piece orchestra this time.
No, but it's still something impressive. We'll have 15 musicians and it's got a jazz flavor to it. We have saxophones and brass in addition to strings and rhythm section. And we'll have a performing ensemble of 9 in the cast, and they're all just blockbuster performers. They'll be all doing some solos, but also some amazing ensemble work together too. And then there's a lot of dancing and choreography as well.
Robert is the choreographer.
That's correct.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I've seen his stuff. He's amazing. It's December 12th through 22nd at Opera Central, which we should tell the folks is 2145 First Avenue South. And I do know the difference between North and South, Maestro.
And there's free valet parking.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's a different kind of holiday concert. Again, I think what I was saying about, not to disparage Ray Conniff, which was my favorite Christmas record at home here in St. Petersburg when I was a little kid, but it's not just a bunch of people standing there singing Christmas carols. It moves and there's different phases and it's a show.
It moves and we've created a concept for each of the 9 people in the show. They have a character that actually has an arc through the 5 parties. And so even though there's no speaking between the numbers, you'll see them interacting and acting with each other a certain way that portrays their particular story.
And you are conducting?
I am conducting the ensemble, yes.
So what we would do is direct folks to stpeteopera.org, which is where you would find more information and tickets about the Holiday Sparkle. St. Pete Opera Company, you're in season 14 right now, okay, which means you've been around a while. You spent a lot of years as a professional musician. You played bassoon in the Florida Orchestra. You were principal bassoon for how many years?
15 years.
15 years. The logical question, even though I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it publicly anyway, is why did you start an opera company? I'm doing this, but now I want to do that. You had a pretty cushy gig there for a while. Why'd you change?
Well, I had started doing more and more conducting. And in doing that, I was offered the opportunity to conduct a performance of Madama Butterfly at the Palladium Theater. It was the first time they had mounted an opera with an orchestra. They had been doing some operatic productions with piano. So that was the start of it. And I really felt like I had a deep intuition that it was meant to be my life's work.
Hmm.
And I loved playing with the orchestra, but I think that I was drawn towards, rather than just rendering the one part from within the orchestra, I think I wanted to be more involved with the creation of the whole product.
Was vocal music something that was, I don't know, near and dear to your heart? You'd worked with choral groups before and worked with vocalists before in different capacities? Or was this just, oh, I love this. I want to learn more about this. Which was it, chicken or the egg?
A little bit of both, actually. You know, my sister was a singer. Through my musical training, there was a lot of references to opera and voices. And in my musical journey, I had had a lot of opportunities to be involved with opera as a bassoonist. So it wasn't really so much a surprise. I think in retrospect, a lot of things happened early in my life that were actually preparing me to do this one day.
What do you mean?
Well, just for instance, you know, that one of my bassoon teachers was very passionate about certain opera singers, and we used to go over to his house and listen to recordings of various opera singers, and he would point out how they were shaping the phrases and certain things they were doing musically and want us to imitate that in our bassoon playing. So things like that, is, you know, like at the time you wouldn't think, oh, you know, maybe in 20 years I'm going to start an opera company. But later down the road, it's kind of like, you know, that's really interesting. You know, way back then, there was already sort of this seed of opera in my life.
Isn't it true that the bassoon, and it's a reed instrument, am I correct? Mm-hmm,
double reed.
That it's very similar to the human voice in the way it reproduces sound. I think you told me that once, so.
Well, the similarities are with playing a wind instrument. I mean, you do have to breathe and manage your breath control and breath support. And there are concepts as far as sustaining a line and using dynamics and color in your playing and vibrato and a lot of those things. So there are a lot of similarities, but you know, in the case of the bassoon, it's the reed that vibrates. It's not inside you.
Oh, well, that's a good point. So 14 years, what I like to talk to people about is historically the origins and what sort of obstacles did you face? I want to start this company. I mean, were there literally people saying opera doesn't play in St. Petersburg, go home? You know, did you have obstacles?
Oh, yeah. I mean, over 14 years, there's definitely been highs and lows. But I think when we were getting started, you know, when I conducted that first production, the attendance was extremely good. And the Palladium wanted me to do more opera. So there was that support right from that beginning. And the Palladium Theater incubated the early couple years of the St. Pete Opera very, very nicely. There was a previous incarnation of a St. Petersburg opera. Now, I'd say it's over 40 years ago, you know, quite in the past. But there were some people who, when I started the company up again with that name, they would reference back, oh, in the late 60s, I sang in the chorus of the St. Pete Opera Company. And I'd have to sometimes explain, well, this is not a continuation of that particular St. Pete Opera Company.
Well, that's a great segue for me, Mark, because you know, I wanted to ask you as, you know, someone who came in from the outside with preconceived ideas about opera, whether or not you have to continually explain to people that, first of all, it's not, you know, the company, it's not me and my neighbor and my Aunt Betty and everybody who wants to sing opera. These are professional singers, not only from the Tampa Bay area. They come from the music school at USF, I think, and you can nod and agree with me or not. But nationally, you know, this is my point, though, that a lot of people, I think, oh, opera does have that stigma that, oh, it's boring and it's just a bunch of old ladies who think they can sing. It's not that at all. Explain this to me. Explain to me what you do and why.
Well, there's a lot of things to respond to in what you just said. I would say nationally and internationally, when I first did this and the very first time we had auditions, we only had about 40 people show up and they were all from just sort of the Southeast. And now we screen over 800 resumes every season. They come from all over the country and even outside the country. And I hear about 300 to 350 live auditions each season.
So you're getting the best of the best.
There is so much great talent out there. Sometimes for a role, you know, I'll hear so many people audition and I'll think, you know, there's at least five people that I would like to be my Tosca. But, you know, I've got to pick one. I got to work with one and maybe I'd like to work with all of them. There's so much wonderful talent out there.
And this, I imagine, has gotten, I don't know, easier, but, you know, more fruitful over the years as SPO's reputation has grown, as I know you've had some singers come back
mm-hmm.
because they're excited about working with you and performing here. where there's a great audience for that. Repeat customers, I guess. And I think it's also important to remind people that, you know, not to be ageist or sexist or any other ist, but these are young people. I'm thinking of the Don Giovanni you did. I mean, you had these young, handsome men and these beautiful women, and it really helps to kind of enact a sort of passion of those pieces when it's not sort of grandmothers and Wagner ladies with horns, you know, that whole thing.
Well, also, I think, you know, opera has a bad reputation for sometimes being staged sort of what I call park and bark, where somebody just stands on stage and sings for 5 minutes, and then another person comes out on stage and they both stand there and sing for five more minutes. And with the staging, we always try to have really engaging stage direction where the characters are really trying to be fully developed and realized, and there's activity and action on stage. I think that's the direction of the future.
Park and bark. Now, that's entering my vernacular now. I'm going to use that somewhere.
I'm not a big fan of park and bark. I don't like the chorus to walk out in a line and just stand there and sing unless they're military soldiers and they're supposed to be standing in a line, you know. But if they're, you know, gypsy girls at the cigarette factory in Carmen, you know, they might be fighting with each other and moving around stage and interacting with each other. And that's exciting to see.
After Holiday Sparkle is Rigoletto.
That's correct.
Tell us about that. I mean, you have your cast lined up and it's January, right? So you must be kind of getting ready to fire on all cylinders with that one.
Yeah, we're well prepared for that. We've got a great cast coming in for Rigoletto, great stage director Carl Hesser. And that's one of my favorite Verdi operas.
Do you consider yourself in showbiz? You consider yourself a showbiz person? I mean, is opera always has this sort of place on the shelf somewhere that's different from, you know, rock and roll or whatever? Because you can be pretty flashy in the stuff you've done. I've seen that.
I would say yes. I'd answer that question. Yes, I think it's showbiz. I think that St. Pete has embraced this showbiz style of opera, which I think is so much fun. You know, I have the Mornings with the Maestro series and the Cocktails with the Maestro series.
Oh, yeah.
Really up close and personal. We have a lot of fun. We try to demystify without dumbing down. And, you know, Cocktails with the Maestro, you know, everybody can order drinks. And, you know, that's definitely showbiz.
I've seen you do it. And there's a Morning with the Maestro and Cocktails for Rigoletto coming up.
Yep.
And you can see all that on the stpeteopera.org as well. Mark Sforzini, I can't think of anything else to ask you other than to reiterate about Holiday Spark. You know, tickets are going well?
Tickets are going well, and you can get a VIP table for four, which are the front two rows, round four top tables, or you can do premier table seating, which is the third, fourth, and fifth row, or you can do just row seating.
And they're tables.
They're tables. I think the VIP experience is the best because you get right up there super close in the action.
Is there drinks and wine and... Yeah.
Yes, there's a refreshment bar, and in addition to being able to make donations for wine and beer, you can also get specialized Christmas cookies. There's some special chocolates being created for the event. There is going to be a market at Opera Central that's open before the show and at intermission.
Sort of local gifts and goodies.
All kinds of little surprises.
I should ask you before we go, not to drop that because we'll go to the website and check that out, about the Tampa Bay Symphony. And I forgot for a second to ask about that. Tell the folks at home who may not know, and I think I wrote about it at the Catalyst once, but tell the folks at home what the Tampa Bay Symphony is as opposed to, you know, the orchestra. It's a different organization, and tell them what it is.
Tampa Bay Symphony is a volunteer orchestra of 80 players, but it's a volunteer orchestra with a professional sound. They really do exceptional work, and we perform three concert series a season, one in November, one in February, and one the end of April, early May. And one of the exciting things we have going on now is an international composition contest. And this year, we had over 130 submissions, and we've narrowed it down to four finalist pieces. And on Tuesday, January 7th at the Palladium Theater, we are going to be reading through those four pieces. I'm going to be rehearsing the orchestra with a microphone on so the audience can hear what I'm saying to them. And three of the four composers are flying in from around the world to be here for this. And the orchestra is going to vote for the winning piece that gets a prize and gets performed in the spring. And the audience is also going to get to vote for their audience choice award. So that's a really fun event. And that's January 7th.
I like the interactive nature of that, where the audience can get involved. So I think we're good. It's a pleasure having you here in Ye Olde Catalyst Studio. spare no expense here. You can see the quality dripping from the walls.
My chair is very comfortable.
Well, it hasn't squeaked, which is positive. That's what the 3-in-1 oil was for earlier. But Maestro Mark Sforzini, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.